Hello and welcome to the Vermillion Sports Show on KRVS 88.7 FM. I am your host, Louis Prejean, sports editor for the Vermillion, the student newspaper of the University of Louisiana. This is the Vermillion Sports Show on KRVS, where we talk the latest in Ragin' Cajun's athletics, specifically basketball. We're all basketball. At the very start of the show, we have Ragin' Cajun's basketball. Then we'll go into some New Orleans Pelicans, who are winning. But I don't think have moved in the standings at all.
Probably not, no.
And we'll also get into the college national championship game, which I'll say it right off the top. I didn't watch, but this is why I have the two experts I have with me joining us through the phone. Charles Long.
Tank for Lawrence 2021.
Justin Vlasic, to my left.
Tank for Ross as well.
Tank for Ross. We're tanking for receivers now. That's the new move in 2021. Yeah. So we're getting into the college national championship later on. We're getting into the NFL playoffs. We're going to save a good amount of time for that. Justin, you're laughing. I know why you're laughing too.
We don't need to talk about it.
We do need to talk. No, you said it before. Come on. Take pride.
Casual flex.
Yeah.
Went 0-4 this week in picks.
0-4. Which is probably the first winless.
It's the first winless record by any of us. I think one of us had like a 1-5 or 1-4 earlier in college, but no, 0-4. None of them correct.
This is your time to shine. This is your episode. Yeah.
This is. I mean, whatever
happens. Who do you blame the most?
Yeah.
Who do I blame?
Yeah. Who do you blame?
I blame the Bears, really, because you know they would have been a win.
Wrong. Nick Foles. You gotta blame Nick Foles. He's too mad. He's too mythical at this point.
No, I mean,
he's too strong.
I don't think he's too strong.
Yeah, he's earned too much power.
He's letting it go to his head.
No, he's humble. That's a humble guy. That's a humble guy.
I guess.
Yeah,
I still think the Bears should have won that game.
Yeah, I'm on the Nick Foles train. I don't know. Charlie's still on the Nick Mullins pain train. Charlie, have you talked to Nick Mullins at all? Longtime listener of the show.
So. Yeah, he's a big fan. He called me up. He's worried about. He's not actually worried about Jimmy G coming back. I think he thinks his job security is pretty down pat.
Hey, Charlie, is Michigan still trash can?
Oh yeah,
Michigan still trash can.
I think I saw something the other day that said, you know, out of the top paid head coaches, Harbaugh, like Jim Harbaugh from Michigan, is you know at the top, and Dabo Sweeney, I think, is like eighth. And then Dabo, who's won two national championships the past 3 years, and Jim Harbaugh, who hasn't even made a playoff. So there's definitely some disparity there.
We have to create a segment for Charlie of the trash cans. Like his weekly trash can.
Daily.
His weekly trash cans. Like just he goes through all of the trash cans that he noticed in sports.
Or we could call it like Charlie's pain train.
Who's he riding this week? We're just going on
one segment.
Yeah, and then we'll have Justin with the soundboard. We don't need a sound effect. We have Justin as the soundboard with the train sound. I don't know if you have your best train sound. Okay, we're getting a little off the rails right now.
Hey.
Am I off the track? Yeah, there we go. Okay, train pun. There we go. Okay. We have to get back on because we have to talk about Ragin' Cajun's basketball before we get into the New Orleans Pelicans and more national topics. But let's focus on Ragin' Cajun's basketball right now. The men's basketball team, they're now 10-5 after a 1-1 start to Sun Belt Conference play. They lost to Arkansas State at home 94-83, but they bounced back. They won 75-61 over Little Rock at home. Speaking of bounce back, Justin, We gotta mention that this is your week to bounce back, okay?
I mean, anything's a bounce back.
You need anything just to bounce back.
One win is a bounce back.
Speaking of bounce backs, 75-61 win over Little Rock at home. Charlie, you kind of highlighted this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about Arkansas State first. That game was relatively close going down to the end. Arkansas State just kind of made a big run in the middle of the game. I think they went on like a 26-4 run at some point. And then, you know, late in the game, they really kind of pulled away. So you got to give it to them for being able to finish that game out, you know, on the road. But the Cajuns, as you said, did really bounce back. very much thanks to a huge performance by Jakeen and Gant against Arkansas Little Rock.
Yes.
So I guess we can talk about that next.
Yeah, we'll talk about, and you wanted to start with Arkansas State. You brought it up. Here's where the Arkansas State loss, what really kind of stands out, and it's kind of stood out all season. I know we've talked about it, is the Rage Cajun's lack of size. You know, Jakeen Gant is probably their biggest player, height-wise, and that's not even that big. And they need rebounding, and that's been an issue. And you can kind of see it with the Arkansas State game, with them getting 16 offensive rebounds and 21 second-chance points to Louisiana's 9, and they out-rebounded Louisiana by 20 rebounds in this game. So we kind of talked about the lack of size, and that's kind of what stands out in the Arkansas State game. But I do want to bring up Jakeen Gant's huge performance against Little Rock. I mean, 45 points on 15 of 21 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, 11 rebounds. He scored 45. When you hear a player scoring 45, you think the team would have like put up 100 in the game. No. Louisiana, as a team, scored 75 points in the game. So he scored 45 of the team's 75 points, which is unreal, mm-hmm. I will say. Next leading scorer was Cedric Russell with 11 points.
Woo!
But shout out to the defense for holding Little Rock to 61. I got to say. So, Charlie, I don't know. Is this a good start to conference play, or is it just kind of rocky? We need to see more.
You'd always like to see the team try and go undefeated at home in conference play. You know, they didn't even do that last year, so it's a real tough ask. But mm-hmm. You want to win as many conference games at home as you can, because conference games on the road are pretty tough. But Herculean effort by Jakeen really kind of motivated the team to pick up a big win and make sure they didn't start conference play 0-2. 45 points, 15 and 21. Like, you're looking at these numbers, they're ridiculous. It sounds like the team basically was just playing team defense and let Jakeen do whatever on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And he really showed up for the team, and it was great.
Yeah, great performance by Jakeen Gant in the win over Little Rock. Now, you know, we're in a good mood. I feel like I'm in a good mood since the start of the show.
Yeah.
Justin, you're in a good mood right now? Talking about sports?
0-4.
0-4, you're in a great mood. Charlie, you feel like you're in a good mood?
Jakeen Gant's got me in a good mood.
Yeah, we're all happy right here. But we do have to mention the women's basketball team. They're on a 9-game losing streak right now. Not what you want to see from the women's basketball team. They are on a 9-game losing streak. They dropped their first two conference games. They were on the road to Arkansas State and Little Rock. They lost 87-75 to Arkansas State and 62-48 to Little Rock. And we kind of highlighted that the women's basketball team's offense is not where it needs to be. And this is kind of like in the Arkansas State game, where you put up 75. That's what you want to see. And you're kind of hopeful for this offense, but then they go out against Little Rock and only put up 48. And we talked about how conference play could have bolstered their record, but
two double digit point losses in their first two conference games is definitely not what you want to see.
Yeah, it's not. So the women's basketball team will continue to see, will be on the lookout for that. It's just, you know, a lot of games left to be played. A lot of games just to start a conference play. So up next for both teams are matchups against Georgia State and Georgia Southern. The women's team will be at home on Thursday and Saturday, while the men's team will be on the road. Charlie, Georgia State and Georgia Southern, especially for the men's team, good matchups there.
Absolutely. Georgia State was one of the better teams in the conference last year. They're one of the better teams in the conference this year. You know, they're off to a pretty fast start. I think they have a really good out-of-conference victory against Alabama this year. So Georgia State's definitely a team to look out for in the Sun Belt here for the Cajuns men's team. Georgia Southern as well had a really good year last year. I think they're also really solid this year, so I think that those are two pretty early season tests for the Cajuns, and it's a real bookmark as to where they are right now without one of the better players. So
yeah, and we'll be talking about that next week. And now we have to bring Justin off the bench. Justin, come off the bench. We're talking about New Orleans Pelicans, 19 and 22 at this point. We're recording this on Tuesday, so we won't be able to react or talk about the Wednesday game that they have coming up. So 19-22, they won 133-98 against the Cavs.
Finally.
Okay, what'd I say? If they lost to the Cavs, there's still the chance, by the way. They still play them again. If they lost to the Cavs, we're just not talking about them. So it's good to see that they had 133-98 win against the Cavs on the road.
Yeah, I said before we before we started the show that it's good to see the Pelicans finally winning games that they're supposed to win. I mean, granted, like you said, it's the Cavs and the Grizzlies. But if they would have lost to either the Cavs or the Grizzlies, then it would have been difficult. You know, the Grizzlies are going through a coaching adjustment now. You know, after their win against the Lakers, the Grizzlies were like, hey, Tom Thibodeau, great win, you're fired. And they quoted the loss to New Orleans as one of the reasons that they fired him. So the fact that...
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not... Hey, Pelicans, tank right now. Tank right now. That you're officially in the tanking category.
Yeah, he was saying that they don't... He didn't believe they should have lost to, I think it was New Orleans or Phoenix or some... There was another team. Mm. But the fact that people are using New Orleans as a reason to fire head coaches when they lose... Is
the Pelicans are now a measurement of bad coaching.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
If you lose to the Pelicans, your head coach will get fired because you lost to the Pelicans.
We did it, boys. We're on the radar.
Oh, Justin, you put me in a bad mood with that.
No, that's...
I'm upset.
That's a good thing. It's a great thing. I mean, they did get two wins that they should have gotten. Play the Cavs again tomorrow in New Orleans. The first Cavs game was in Cleveland. So they'll play again tomorrow in New Orleans. Hopefully get that win. After that, though, it gets a little bit tougher.
Yeah. I mean, getting that big of a win against a team that's been in the finals four straight years, fantastic by the Pelicans. No sarcasm at all, as the Cavs now have the worst record without their best player. But, you know, Charlie, I'm still thinking about that comment that Justin just gave. That one of the reasons.
Okay, let me give you a little positive.
Give me something.
Pelicans, man. Did y'all like watch the Pelicans game at all yesterday?
No, I did not.
I tuned in at halftime.
Okay.
Because I didn't really care to watch a halftime show of the national championship. And can we talk about how good Jahlil Okafor is turning into? Like
we can talk about that.
He's quietly been very solid for this team.
Like with his minutes?
And Frank Jackson. Go ahead.
With the minutes that he's having, Jahlil Okafor, he's putting up, he's a little more productive than we might have thought. So.
We need to find a way to get him on the court more. I liked there's this one lineup that we had where we had Tim Frazier, Frank Jackson, Darius Miller, AD, and Jahlil Okafor on the court together.
Hmm.
Now, when you think of that lineup, you think that's Anthony Davis and a bunch of scrubs. But, you know, they really took it to Memphis when they had that lineup in. And I was really impressed. You know, Jahlil Okafor, he had a couple times in the post where he just went ISO and he drew fouls and he made buckets, and he had a really nice game. So, you know, even though that he may not be putting up too many points because he's not getting that many minutes, I think it's time for Gentry and the coaching staff to start giving him, Frank Jackson, more minutes. I think that those are two really bright young stars on the team that really need to see the court more often.
The return of Frank Jackson could be big for this team, especially, you know, we talked about the bench scoring being really low. In some of their losses and even some of their wins, the bench production's not been there. But Jackson, I mean, he did put up 17 points in 19 minutes against the Grizzlies, and on effective shooting, like 3 of 5 from three and 7 of 10 from the field. So, just having Frank Jackson and maybe, like you said, giving Jahlil Okafor some more minutes just to see what he can do, because he's been productive. I gotta say so.
Both of them have been solid. I've been really impressed with the two Duke boys, but. I think that, you know, when you look at the schedule that's coming up, you're not going to be able to play Anthony Davis for 40 minutes a game, you know, so you're going to need to have players step up and play good minutes while he has to sit the bench.
Mm.
And I think that's an opportunity where you can give Okafor more minutes, see what he can do against some of the better teams in the league, and really kind of get a benchmark for where he's at and in his production and in his development with the Pelicans.
And I know... The only reason Darius Miller started against the Grizzlies is because Etuan Moore was out.
Right.
But do we like Darius Miller in the starting lineup and Etuan Moore off the bench, or are we just going to keep with Etuan Moore in the starting lineup?
Etuan Moore is much more threatening as a player, in my opinion.
I agree.
So I would definitely keep him. But also, one other thing is with Elfrid Payton playing for the Pelicans, they're 8-2 this year.
Uh-oh.
Now, I know that they haven't played, you know, the best teams with Elfrid on the floor. I think probably the best team they played was Houston with Elfrid Payton. But, you know, still 8-2, no matter who you're playing in the NBA, is pretty impressive. So you know, look for that to maybe continue. Maybe he can provide some more sparks, be the floor general that the Pelicans need to keep a win streak going.
I have the thing up. I misspoke. It wasn't the Grizzlies that fired their head coach. It was the Timberwolves.
Right.
And the exact quote,
Thibodeau.
Right, mm-hmm. from the head coach, from the guy that fired him, said, "I said let's let it go and see how things worked. I think now we've gone up through halfway through the season. I don't think we're where we thought we would be or where we think we should be. I'm just looking at the results. The results are that I don't think we should have lost against Phoenix or Detroit or New Orleans or Atlanta."
No.
Wow.
He put the Pelicans among Detroit, Phoenix, and Atlanta.
Yeesh.
Yep.
Oh. Wow. Hold up. I'm trying to process right now. I'm trying to process. Okay. You know what? Well, okay. Let's talk about the upcoming schedule. I have the upcoming schedule. We'll just move on to the next point. Justin, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I'm now falling into a pit of despair. So, okay. I counted 10 of their next 12 games being pretty hard.
Okay.
Okay. And
hard for the Pelicans.
Not hard for any other team because they're among Phoenix and Atlanta and Detroit. So all these teams are going to have a field day, apparently. Okay. So tell me if I'm wrong about any of these being not hard or hard. Okay.
Okay.
Stop me at any point. All right. At Timberwolves, at Clippers, at Warriors, at Trailblazers. I'll stop right there before I continue.
Those are good games? Like games that are hard?
Games that are hard, yes.
The Timberwolves will be interesting.
The two in parentheses I counted coach. Not hard.
Okay. The Timberwolves head coaching dilemma will be interesting.
Out of the first five games?
Yeah, at T-Wolves, at Clippers, at Warriors, at Trailblazers.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. At T-Wolves is definitely winnable. At Clippers is also winnable. And even at Trailblazers is kind of winnable.
Warriors, though, that's an L right now.
Yeah,
add that one to the column.
Well, I wouldn't count that one out too, you know. But I would.
If we're playing at a Phoenix level, you know.
Yeah, but I will say, I'm just saying, like these are also losable. If you're the Pelicans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so the two in parentheses I have as not hard. You're at Grizzlies. I think the Pelicans play pretty well against the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
They're home for the Pistons, which actually now might be hard.
The same level, you know?
Now that I'm learning this. Okay, so let's continue with the hard games that I have. So, at Thunder,
mm-hmm.
home for Spurs. Mm-hmm. All right, we can stop there. Justin?
That's a game that I feel like the Pelicans, if they're healthy, I saw something earlier today that said, Gentry said Mirotić is really close to coming back. But if he's back and they're healthy, I think that won't be a difficult game.
Charlie?
I think it's going to be a difficult game regardless just because the Spurs are kind of rolling right now. But I think that it's winnable. You know, the Pelicans have played a lot better at home than they have on the road this year. So any home game, there's a chance.
Yes. At Rockets?
Hard.
Home for Nuggets?
Hard now. I never thought I'd say that.
Pelicans don't play well against the Nuggets. At Spurs? Hard.
Difficult.
Home for Pacers.
Not as difficult.
Okay. So, we talked about the stretch for the Pelicans. Could this stretch determine how the season will go?
Yeah. I think it's a pretty big stretch of games with a variety of talent. You know, you play everyone from the Warriors to the Pistons, and it's seeing how the Pelicans match up against some pretty good teams in here, you know, against the Thunder is a team that's rolling. The Nuggets are, I believe, still up on top of the West.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talent on these teams that the Pelicans have to play coming up. And depending on how they play against these teams really can be kind of a glimpse into the playoffs in the future if the Pelicans are able to turn their season around and stuff. This 10-12 stretch of games here is going to be a big indicator as to how well they'll do.
Charlie, do you have a realistic record for the Pelicans over this stretch?
Okay, so let me tell you how important this stretch is. Assuming the Pelicans win their game against the Cavaliers tonight, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to kind of mark it down as a win. They lose, I'm ready to end the season regardless. So, they get to 20-22. This is a tough 12-game stretch. realistically, at best, I'd probably think something around 5-7, personally.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple games that they can maybe squeak out, maybe to get a 6-6, maybe even 7-6 record, or 7-5 record. But realistically, 5-7 is a good benchmark for this stretch of games. That's just how hard it is. So that would put them at 25-29, you know, at that point in the season with, you know, 28 games left to play. So, you know, to get into the playoffs at that point, you need to end the season probably at like a 20-8 record and be able to get up to 40, 45, 46 wins just to make the playoffs, not even get like that good of a siege. That's just how tough the West is. Is it doable? Yes. But if they to get to the playoffs, if they're not ready to tank the season away, they're going to need to have a winning record in this 12-game stretch, in my opinion.
Mm. Well said.
A winning record, and but absolutely they can go 0-12. That's just where I'm at. This okay, so this airs Friday at midnight.
Right? Yeah, on KRVS.
On KRVS 88.7. This is Vermillion Sports Show.
Quick plug.
But if I'm saying if we're talking right now and the Cavs beat the Pelicans on if they beat the Pelicans on Wednesday. Hit the eject button on the season. We're done. I'm so holding up to that.
That's when you blame Solomon Hill and move on.
Yeah, blame Solomon Hill and move on. Okay. this 12-game stretch is really the most crucial point of the season. I think Charlie laid it out nice with, you know, if they end up at a 25-29, right? Then
yeah, if they win the Cavaliers game tonight and go 5-7, which is a realistic record, let's go game by game real quick. The Timberwolves game is winnable, right? 1-0.
Yes.
Clippers game also winnable, kind of a toss up. I'll go ahead and say 2-0.
Mm.
Warriors, you're going to lose that game. Yeah. Trailblazers, I think you also lose that game.
Yes.
So you're all of a sudden at 2-2 in the first four.
Mm-hmm.
Grizz and Pistons are both winnable. That puts you at 4-2, right? Then you go to the Thunder. That's a loss. 4-3. Home for the Spurs. Toss up. I'll say 5-3. Rockets 5-4. Nuggets 5-5. At Spurs 5-6. Home for the Pacers. That's where it gets into a toss up.
Yeah.
So either 6-6 or 5-7, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, we can all agree and blame Solomon Hill and
blame Solomon
move
Hill,
on.
Move on.
There we go. Justin, I love that, man. Love that. Okay. College national championship. Let's talk about it.
And doesn't deserve a woo.
If you guys want to talk about it. Because, all right, this is, I know, I'll say this. This is the second game that we'll talk about that I haven't watched. And it's going to make me sound like a guy that doesn't watch games. But, guys, I watch games, okay?
Yeah, Lewis, what are you doing on the sports show, man?
It's just this night in particular, I was out. And that's okay, right? I was out seeing a movie. Went to see The Favorite. Good movie. Recommend it if you like weird period dramas. Okay, but the college football national championship was on Monday. I was at a movie during the time. Clemson beat Alabama in the national championship game, 44-16. And off the show, we gave our picks.
Mm.
I'm actually glad we gave our picks off the show.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that. So, first 15-0 season in modern college football for Clemson, and biggest Alabama loss under Nick Saban. Again, I was out of college football, especially this season after the playoff games. I was just, you know, do I feel like I need to see this? Of course. I mean, it's the two teams playing at the highest level, but I chose to go see a movie instead. But from
good decision
from people that did watch the game, I want to hear your thoughts, Justin. I want to hear your thoughts on the game.
Clemson came into this game looking like they deserved to win. It's like Charlie was joking at the beginning of the show, you know, tank for Tanner,
Lawrence.
Yeah,
tank
Lawrence,
for Lawrence.
Trevor, I'm sorry, Trevor Lawrence, and then tank for Ross. You know, these are two young freshmen that played outstanding that game. So Clemson, not only are they looking good right now, they are looking good well into the future with these two. And I think that Alabama has, if it's going to continue to be a four-team playoff in college football, and Clemson and Alabama continue to make it, I feel like Clemson's going to pick up more than Alabama does in the future based on just talent alone. I mean, based on this past championship game, Clemson just looked more prepared. They just looked like the better team. Mm.
Charlie, talk to me like a guy that watched the game. You're talking to a guy that didn't watch the game. How would you describe it?
Clemson looked like, as Justin said, like they deserved to be there. They weren't scared of Alabama by any means. You know, there's a lot of hype around this Alabama team. A lot of people saying that, you know, it was the best college football team ever assembled. And Clemson took all that hype and just smacked him in the mouth with it. And there's no other way to really put it. You know, the pick six at the start of the game was the first score. You know, I think Clemson started with the three and out, and I was thinking, okay, mm-hmm. if Alabama scores here, this might be over before it even starts. Mm-hmm. And say Clemson gets on the board first with pick six. They held Alabama's, you know, ridiculous offense scoreless in the second half. They really opened up a huge lead, and they didn't look back. So you got to give it to Clemson here. You know, even if Alabama's players don't do it, I'll do it. Clemson played a great game. They were well coached. They were ready to go. They weren't afraid of Alabama, and they just really took them down. It was one of the biggest defeats of a dynasty team that I think I've ever seen, which is really fascinating. I don't think I'll ever see something like that again. Just a total dismantling of a team that had really a stranglehold on college football within the past 10 years. So super impressive performance by Clemson. You got to give it to Coach Sweeney and the Tigers. They looked great, and they really did deserve the championship.
Okay, so let's put a bow on the college football season. Charlie, put a bow on it. Describe the year it's been for college football. Also,
if I'm being brutally honest, this year was kind of dull.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't, like, the bowl games weren't that great. The season itself didn't have that much drama. There weren't many upsets. You know, it just wasn't, you know, that interesting, I guess you could say. But one thing I will say that's pretty fascinating, the fun fact is that the college football playoff, in its 5 years of existence, the number one seed hasn't won the championship once. So it's kind of like a one seed curse, I think. It's pretty interesting. But, yeah, they haven't won it once. And I think that there's some crazy stat that I saw that in the past 4 years, out of the 12 college football playoff games that were played, Alabama and Clemson have won 11 of them. The only one that they didn't win was the Oklahoma-Georgia game last year. So talk about dominance between these two teams and these two programs.
Yeah. Dull is a good word, I'd say. I don't know. Thank you, Charlie, for putting the bow on the college football season. Not the way we kind of hoped it would end. I love close games. I love drama.
Yeah, at least we had the Dollar General.
At least we had the Cheez-It Bowl.
The Cheez-It
Bowl.
And...
So I guess it turns out the Cheez-It Bowl is the best bowl game. if I had to end the college football season right there. All right, we'll stop right there with college football, because I want to talk about the New Orleans Saints. I really want to get into the game. I want to talk about the NFL playoffs. I want to get into that. So let's go to the wild card records of Pick the Winner.
Woo!
Charlie, congratulations. You won.
Thank you.
2-2. You did win the tiebreaker, and you had the Bears winning by the slimmer margin. So you you won the tiebreaker.
I don't think
any
of us picked 16-15. But.
No, I don't think that the score came up. No, I don't think so. And then I went 2-2. And Justin?
0-4.
0-4. 0-4.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Deserves a little clap right there.
Props to Charlie, though, winning the first round of the wild card playoffs. You know.
I went 0-2 in the last day, and I'm not very happy about it.
There's improvements to be made.
Charlie started
2-0. Thanks to the Colts. You know, the Colts really showed up for me. They really, you know, beat the brakes off the Texans, which I wasn't really even expecting. I was expecting it to be a really close game. And thank you for the Cowboys for actually showing up at home. It seems the only place they really show up this year, so. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, not the best day for Cowboys don't belong there takes.
I still believe they don't belong there.
Also, not the best day for Andrew Luck is overrated takes. Oof. Who's that guy, huh? I'll take it. So, reaction to Wild Card Weekend. Did we like it? Did it live up to some of the hype? I'll start. I don't think it lived up to the hype. Just because I had unreal expectations, I was like, man, all these games are going to be close. They're going to be amazing. And we kind of got two of the four. You could argue maybe
three.
The ending of the Chargers and Ravens. But, you know, I still thought it was a good weekend overall. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL playoffs. You're going to enjoy it either way. You know, it's a shame that it started with Colts-Texans being so poor, especially because I wanted the Texans to win that one. But I think overall the Cowboys game was really solid.
Justin, you wanted four teams to win, and they didn't win. So
I don't know if I wanted... I wanted the Cowboys to lose. More than yeah, but, you know, it was still a good weekend of games. I mean, I thought Sunday was better than Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah. Charlie, did you like Wild Card Weekend? Was it just as wild as it seemed?
Lamar Jackson had not decided to show up before there were only 5 minutes left on the clock. And if only the Eagles hadn't blocked the Cody Parkey kick, I'd be a very happy man right now. But, you know, 2-2 isn't that bad. I'm okay with it. It's not exactly what I was expecting. But, you know, it was still fun. I enjoyed it. It was kind of what I expected with the Chargers, you know, getting the matchup in Foxborough, which was what I was looking forward to.
Yeah.
I said that the Chargers-Ravens game, whoever wins that has a great shot of making it in the Super Bowl. And now I get to really show off if the Chargers beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see.
Flex your muscles a little bit on that one. If it happens, we'll be picking those games later.
Stay tuned.
And I have best game on here on that one. I think we could all agree that it was the Bears and Eagles game. That was the best game. I don't know, Charlie, do you think that was the best game of the week?
I think so. I think that, you know, the only real competition it has is maybe the Cowboys-Seahawks game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as soon as the Seahawks didn't get the onside kick at the end of that game, it kind of really sealed it for the Bears-Eagles, in my opinion.
You know, the interesting thing is we came into this weekend thinking the AFC games would be better. The NFC games turned out to be the better games. You know, we said that the Colts-Texans was going to be a lot closer than it was. We said Chargers-Ravens had, you know, Super Bowl winner, like, opportunity. And then it came down in the NFC to kickers on both sides. You know, Seattle, if Sebastian Janikowski doesn't get hurt, I firmly believe they win that game.
Yeah.
If
he wasn't old and out of shape.
Yeah. if Cody Parkey doesn't have a kick blocked, then the Bears win, you know? Or they go for an extra point instead of two. Like
I didn't
Charlie
expect
was saying.
The Texans just not to show up. So I thought that the AFC games would be better. I mean, I didn't expect Lamar Jackson to play as poorly as he did for 3.5 quarters either.
Yeah.
So I really did expect the AFC games to be better, as you were saying, but I'm just happy that at least two games were really good.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Never doubt the first Saturday game, the very first playoff game.
They're
never doubt
bad.
It. Never doubt it to be bad. Why did we think otherwise? we should have just known. Okay, the Saints will play this week.
Woo!
So, and they will play the Philadelphia Eagles in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. This is because the Eagles beat the Bears on the road 16-15. Not a good day for Bears could go all the way take from last week for me because I love the defense, but that's okay. Just Trubisky, God bless. So the Eagles beat the Bears on the road 16-15. We'll play the Saints. The Eagles have won four in a row after Nick Foles stepped in for the injured Carson Wentz. Sound familiar at all?
Yep.
Does it sound anything like last season? Now the Eagles will look to pull out the Foles magic once again to avenge a 48-7 loss to the Saints in New Orleans in Week 11. Okay, let's break it down. Is this the opponent the Saints would have rather played, or would you have wanted a Cowboys matchup?
I think, as Saints fans, a lot of people want the Eagles, only because of what happened earlier in the season. You know, we played both of these teams. The Cowboys was that weird loss. But I was talking to one of my coworkers, and she was saying that she wanted the Eagles to win. And I said, last year, everyone wanted to play the Eagles, and they won the Super Bowl. I mean, the Eagles didn't play the Saints last year. You know, they had the Minneapolis Miracle happen, and that didn't happen.
Those two words are banned, by the way.
I apologize.
Meaningless Miracle.
Yeah. But I still think that of the two, I would have rather played the Cowboys if the Saints were at home. we wouldn't be going to Dallas. The Eagles are a lot scarier now because Nick Foles. I don't know what it is about this man, but he's a playoff quarterback.
He's too powerful at this point. I'm telling you, he's too powerful.
He is.
He's got all the Infinity Stones. He's got all of them. It's over.
Cowboys are a renowned bad playoff team. So I think the Cowboys having to come through New Orleans would have been a lot better matchup for New Orleans than having to face on the Eagles, even if you are at home.
Charlie, do you share that? Do you share that sentiment that you would have rather have the Cowboys come into New Orleans rather than
last week? I said that my dream scenario for the NFC was an all NFC East playoff for the Saints, which is still in play.
Yes.
We get the Eagles, and if the Cowboys beat the Rams, we get the Cowboys in the NFC Championship. So, as I said, that's what I'm really looking forward to. That's what I want to see happen. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, who knows? We got to start this week with the Eagles. And as Justin was saying, Nick Foles has really, you know, provided a spark for this team. And he really is a playoff quarterback. There's something about him leading teams to these upset victories over better teams. It's just, you know, I've never seen anything really like it. But now he's tasked with a Herculean game against the Saints in a NFC divisional round, 6 seed versus 1 seed. You know, it's going to be tough for the Eagles. And I think that the Saints probably see some deficiencies with this Eagle team that they can really exploit. First off, I'll point out one thing. You were talking about Trubisky a little bit. Trubisky threw for over 300 yards against this Eagles defense. You know, their secondary is, you know, totally decimated with injuries. So if Trubisky can throw 300 on this defense, I think Breeze is looking pretty good at home.
And that's Trubisky playing bad, by the way. That's him throwing 300 yards playing bad. He had a couple of good throws. Great throws, actually. But I think overall he did play bad. Okay, so
I got a feeling that Peyton's going to abuse whichever receivers on Avante Maddox, number 29, the defensive back for Philly, because he was getting torched at the end of that game. He kept playing really aggressive. He kept fighting on these double moves. And I think Allen Robinson was the receiver for the Bears that kept finding ways to get, like, wide open. So look for Ted Ginn or Traquan Smith or even Michael Thomas, whoever's on that cornerback, to just have a big day.
Yeah, so number 29 is trash can.
He's not
Charlie,
good.
Charlie, was that your trash can right there?
Trash can of the week.
Yeah.
I thought it was already Jim Harbaugh. But.
Jim Harbaugh, yeah. You, trash
Harbaugh,
can.
Congratulations. Yeah. Trash can of the week.
Just the Harbaughs.
If Michael Thomas
Harbaughs
and
the are the
wide receivers go off on the Eagles' broken down secondary, then they'll probably be my trash can of the week next week. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Okay, so let's go to the KRVS Spicy Takes group chat.
Group chat of the week.
Just real quick. Okay, I don't know if I put this in the group chat. Let me see. Okay, so the Bears kicker, he's kicking the 43-yard field goal, right?
Yeah.
So Charlie goes, they need 30 yards now. I was like, knew it, SMH. I mean, come on. I knew the Bears were going to drive because the Eagles' secondary is bad. I said, if it's 40 yards or over, I don't trust any kicker.
Not even Justin Tucker?
I don't trust. Justin.
Justin Tucker missed a 50-yarder against the Chargers this past weekend.
He did.
Justin came in with a heater of a text.
Oh.
My tables are receiving worse service, but it's worth it. Shout out to you, Justin.
Yeah.
Shout out to you. This is what I wanted to read. Because shout out to you. Because I'm over here like, I didn't watch the national championship game. You're watching Eagles and Bears at work.
At work.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was.
That's real dedication.
It's a good game.
Real dedication right there. I said, I don't trust this kick. He's nervous. You could tell. You could tell. Oh, also, what do we think about icing the kicker?
I mean, it worked.
Yeah.
It's effective.
Yeah, I like icing the kicker. But I want to get to the best summary of kind of like watching other teams, which was provided by Charlie. I think you even tweeted about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what was it? What's your thought of watching other teams being?
So I think I tweeted that my team isn't even playing right now, but still watching these games is like stressful, and I like really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good summary of the weekend. I love still being stressed and not even there's no ramifications for me at all. No emotional input into them. Okay. So what scares you most about the Eagles right now? Is it false? Or is it the defensive line?
I think it's definitely Foles, especially if the Saints offensive line is healthy. You know, the Saints offensive line, when healthy, kept Aaron Donald to absolutely nothing. So I trust them against Fletcher Cox and the Eagles defensive line.
Mm, okay. I'm just, you know, having kind of like flashbacks to the Cowboys defensive line, getting all that pressure on Drew Brees. But, you know, the Saints have had time to heal up. So
Cowboys also have better defensive backs than the Eagles do. So.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
When they're allowed to just hold receivers.
Should we focus on the element of rust for the Saints, or will it become overblown in the grand scheme of things?
I think if there is any, maybe a drive or two. I think this team, I would hope, I guess, that this team uses their time off to just prepare. You know, you played this team once already earlier in the season. Look back at that film. Look at their film last week in their playoff game. Now that Nick Foles is in, it's going to be a little bit different. You know, make your adjustments that you need to in the secondary. But I think it's what the Saints needed to just kind of get healthy again, just rest up, watch a little more film, going into what is going to be a pretty big game.
Yeah. So, Charlie, are you worried about rust at all?
I think that if there's rust, it will last the first quarter. You know, ever since the Cowboys game, the Saints have really had their struggles in the first quarter. But even for most of the season, they've struggled in the first quarter. But the rest of the game, they've typically dominated. So if there's going to be any kind of rust, I expect it early. But I think it's, you know, this team is the type of team that can shake off a slow start and still pick up a win, especially in the playoffs.
The thing about rust in games is, like, it could kind of bleed into your rhythm. Like, you start off rusty in it for a couple drives or even the entire first quarter, then you're kind of out of rhythm the rest of the game because you got off to that bad start. I don't know. That's my biggest concern. If it bleeds into the rhythm and it just, you can just tell that the Saints are just off, and then it becomes a close game, and then you're facing Nick Foles magic. Nick Foles magic. No, but it's true. I think that could play a factor. Like, it might be overblown, but until, like, it affects the rhythm of the entire game for the Saints. And it really just, it gets to that point where you start getting worried, like, oh, they started bad and they're still bad, and the offense really isn't getting it going. But like Charlie mentioned, I mean, going against that Eagles secondary with time to prepare, and when you have Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, it's different than having Mitch Trubisky back there at quarterback. All right, so for the keys for the Saints to win this game, I don't know. Do you have, like, one key that you're looking out for, Justin?
I think that I'm not worried about the defense in this game. What I'm really more concerned about is if Drew Brees will be able to spread the ball around enough and take advantage of a depleted Eagles secondary. These past couple games have been a little rough for Drew Brees. You know, his passing yardage hasn't been as high as it usually is. And, you know, we talked all the time about how this season Drew Brees had one target, and it was Michael Thomas. So this game, he really needs to spread the ball around enough to make the Eagles cover more than just Michael Thomas, or even just Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn, because I feel like you could double-team both of them with a safety, leave a tight end open maybe or something, and still maybe be effective.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a key.
Charlie, one key you're looking out for.
Their first game was the Traquan. Their first game against the Eagles was their the Traquan Smith breakthrough game, where I think he had 10 receptions with 157 yards. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting that again. I think that he could be a nice factor, but I'm looking for a big game from Alvin Kamara. I think that Kamara had said, you know, earlier in the year that had the Saints not gotten upset by that Minnesota meaningless miracle in the playoffs last year, that they would have gone into Philly and beat them and made it to the Super Bowl. So now he's got the chance to beat Philly in the playoffs and kind of make up for what didn't happen last year. I'm looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be fun. I think the biggest key, in my opinion, is starting fast. You want to get this Eagles team, you know, kind of demoralized at the very beginning. If you can get out to a 14-0 lead immediately, 21-0 lead, like, kind of falter their faith, that's how you beat this team. Mm. If you start slow, let Philly score first, let Philly kind of get into a rhythm, that's when they can get the Nick Foles magic and upset you on the road. But if the Saints, you know, if their offense comes to play, Sean Payton has a good game plan. If they start going down the field with ease, going fast, I think that there's a great opportunity to really beat this Eagles team before they can even get in it.
One interesting fact that I think would be kind of fun to watch out for this game is against the Bears, it was Darren Sproles' first time playing in a playoff game since he was with the Saints in 2012. Mm. Now he plays the team that he played his last playoff game with in the second round of the playoffs. So if he has a big game, it's going to be a little bit of a revenge game.
A little revenge game.
Darren Sproles' revenge game.
I don't know how I would feel.
It's the number one rushing defense.
Well, if he makes waves in the receiving, if by some way Darren Sproles is productive, effective,
if the Eagles win this game, it's going to be because of their receiving core and their quarterback. I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the running game.
It's just that's a little fun. Fact. I'll be like, what universe are we in where Darren Sproles beats the Saints? Like 12 years. I don't know. Okay, so. Let's go to the division round of the NFL playoffs. Good games here. We said this last week. We still got a good weekend.
Can I do a quick breaking news alert regarding the Saints?
Okay.
Remember we were talking ahead of time about new coaching changes?
Mm-hmm.
There's recently been a new coaching change in the NFC South, and Bruce Arians has been hired as the Buccaneers' new head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that.
It is scary time.
Are you nervous about that at all?
I am very nervous. I like Bruce Arians a lot. I think he's a great head coach.
Hmm.
And, you know, with the offense and the weapons that Tampa Bay has, I think he can get the best out of that team. So look out for Tampa as maybe a surprise team next year.
Yep. That'll be interesting to look out for. Bruce Arians, Bucks getting a good head coach, especially in a market where it's kind of everyone's searching for the new Sean McVay.
Just get a new quarterback now.
just get a new quarterback, or just stick with one quarterback, please. Or get a new quarterback. Divisional round. We have Colts at Chiefs on Saturday. Cowboys at Rams, the night game on Saturday. The Sunday games, Chargers at Patriots, and Eagles at Saints for the afternoon game. Which has the most upset potential?
I believe the Colts and Chiefs game. I think the Colts. I counted them out last week. I thought the Texans should have won that game, and they were the higher seed. I was like, yeah, the Colts team is good, but I don't know if they're playoff good. They proved me way wrong. I think that they really do have a good chance to beat the Chiefs this week.
They're super hot. They've won 10 of their last 11 games.
Yeah.
Big turnaround. Offensive line. Playing the best right now, I think, of any team. And I mean, when Andrew Luck has time, I mean, he really shows what he can do.
Outstanding season.
Yeah. Charlie, are you agreeing with that, or are you looking at another game for an upset potential? I think I know which one you're going to pick.
I wanted to say the Chargers at Patriots as my, the game with the most upset potential.
Yeah.
But in his career, Phillip Rivers is 0-7 against Tom Brady. And the only time he beat the Patriots was in 2008 when Brady was out for the season. So in my opinion, the game with the most upset potential is the Colts and Chiefs. I agree with Justin. I think the Colts are the one team that no one really wants to play. The Chiefs have had a good year, but against winning teams with the winning records this season, they're 3-4. And the Colts are coming into town hot. As you said, 10 of their last 11 games they've won. They got a great offensive line, which may be able to negate the Chiefs' defensive strength, which is their front seven. And if Andrew Luck has time to throw the ball, he's going to be torching that back four for the Chiefs. So I think that there's definitely opportunity for an upset there, but we'll see.
I thought you were going to pick the Chargers at Patriots.
I'm leaning for it. I think that this is probably the best team that Phillip Rivers has had and one of the worst teams that Tom Brady has had.
Mm-hmm.
I think both have upset potential, so it would be really fun to see an AFC championship game between the 5 and 6 seed, and it really kind of prove to just see like how crazy the AFC was this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really ready to say that the Chargers are going to outright beat the Patriots.
This is a yes or no question, Charlie. Will we see a road team make the conference championship round before I pick the winner?
In both conferences?
In either.
Yes.
Okay. Justin?
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that little teaser for the pick the winner. What storyline will define the weekend? If you had to pick one storyline, we had the kind of the storyline of kickers in the wild card weekend, or you could have picked how modern offenses were struggling.
I think it's going to come down to quarterback play. We have some good quarterback matchups. You know, Patrick Mahomes against Andrew Luck, with Andrew Luck having an outstanding season. We have the story between Philip Rivers and Tom Brady. We have Nick Foles coming out of nowhere, leading this team to a playoff run going against Drew Brees. The only game that doesn't really intrigue me quarterback-wise is Cowboys at Rams. That's got the running back matchup. But I think overall story of the weekend, I'd say quarterbacks.
Charlie?
I'm interested to see. Like, I think that in a lot of these matchups, the better defense should prevail. So I'm interested to see how these offenses play against, because right now all that's left is decent to solid defenses, right? Kind of overlooking the Chiefs defense because their offense kind of offsets that. But, you know, you got a lot of good teams. You're in the final eight. I think it really comes down to which defense can perform the best to get their team to the championship round.
We haven't talked about this Cowboys at Rams game, really. The Cowboys have a real chance to win this game. Justin, close your ears. Cover your ears.
Take off the headphones.
Just shut your ears because you don't want it. I think the Cowboys have a real chance to win this game at the Rams. The Rams look vulnerable. They look beatable. But, like, what's that going to say about the Rams if they were to be upset by the Cowboys in this game? You know, because the Rams don't really have that much of a home crowd. Like, there's a – like, it's not – out of the realm to believe Cowboys fans will be like 40% of the crowd. So it's like, well, Charlie, what would that say about the Rams as a team if the Cowboys go in and win?
If the Cowboys go in and win, it shows that the Rams, you know, the Rams spent a lot of money to get this team together. And if they lose in their first game, just like they did last year to the Falcons, again, to the Cowboys, to a lesser team, then I think it shows that their buy-in was a total failure. So this is definitely a must-win for the Rams franchise. Will they win it? The Cowboys are 3-5 on the road this year, but the Rams have been, you know, a little bit more shaky recently. I think that, you know, you look at their game against the Eagles, everyone was expecting them to win that, and they kind of came up flat and fell short of beating a Nick Foles-led Eagles team in the regular season. So they are definitely beatable, you know, even at home, but I think it will take probably the Cowboys' best effort, especially on defense, to go ahead and beat this team.
Yeah, just wanted to bring it up. It's just interesting because, Justin, this is your favorite right here, the Rams.
I mean, yeah, I'd still...
You still feel confident in them?
I think that if this match... It's definitely an interesting matchup because the Rams really have been struggling recently. I'll be interested to see what kind of adjustments they made over the bye week, give them a little time to rest up too. But if this was, you know, flipped, if seeding wasn't a thing and it was still the Cowboys and Eagles, but we played the Cowboys, I think it's easy to say Cowboys lose that game. But because they're playing a struggling Rams team, I think there's a chance. But
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
And the NFL picked the winner right now. So we'll start with the Saturday games because, I mean, that just makes the most sense. Why would we start with the Saturday
games?
Start
at the bottom, go up.
Yeah. Let's go with the Saturday games. So we have the Colts at the Chiefs. I love this matchup. I mean, yeah. Do we remember the Andrew Luck famous comeback game against the Chiefs?
Yes.
Yep.
Fantastic performance. That was a great game. Who knows if we get it here. Charlie, do you trust Andy Reid in this game?
Absolutely not. Well, I trust Andy Reid. I just don't trust their defensive coordinator, Bob Sutton.
Okay.
Andy Reid kind of has, you know, a voodoo doll, like a curse put over him, where he can't win playoff games. Mm. And I think that continues. I'm going to Colts here. I think that the Colts are on a roll. As I said, the Chiefs are 3-4 against winning teams. I think the Colts offense gets enough done to beat this Chiefs team on the road. And the only reason I think that is because of how their offensive line has been. As I said, the Chiefs' strength is definitely in their front, but that gets offset by the Colts' offensive line that's been playing outstanding. They played great against the Texans. I think they'll play great against the Chiefs. Then all of a sudden it turns into Andrew Luck torching a defense. And, you know, the Chiefs do not have the defensive backs to be able to hold up against T.Y. Hilton and Eric Ebron. So I think the Colts defense versus the Chiefs offense is definitely going to be the matchup to watch. Because if Darius Leonard and the Colts defense can get a couple stops against this Chiefs team, I think the Colts win this one.
You know, time and time again, Justin, it's about the team that's the hottest in the playoffs that goes the furthest.
Yeah.
So are you believing in the Colts?
I am. I actually am. You know, I know in order to win collectively over the playoffs, I'd need to pick differently. But I think this one's just one that I have to agree with Charlie with.
You feel strongly about this one.
I do.
And in order for me to win, I will pick the Chiefs. No, there is like this weird voodoo thing with Andy Reid where it just forces him not to win playoff games. And it's unfortunate, but I mean, if Patrick Mahomes is really the MVP, this is the game right here. I mean, this is what you're going to want to see is him get over that kind of playoff starting hump that the Chiefs need to get over. So I'll go Chiefs in this game. Patrick Mahomes continues to be Patrick Mahomes as he's been all season.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah. And also for my take, by the way, for my take. Then we have the Cowboys at the Rams. I'll kick this one over to Justin for obvious reasons.
Going Rams.
I don't think we need any explanation at all. Or do we?
No. Cowboys shouldn't be here. They should have lost last week.
Grumpy Justin on the Cowboys. Charlie, who you got?
This one has upset potential. I think that if the Cowboys defense shows up and holds the Rams to under, say, 24 points, I think they have a great shot. However, I think the Rams win this one in a close game. I think they probably score a touchdown late. You know, they get a lead late in the game, and the Cowboys just can't quite overcome it. So I'll have the Rams moving on. I would like to see the Cowboys win this game because, as I said, I'm still hoping for that all NFC East playoff match for the Saints. But realistically, I'm going with the Rams here.
I'm trying not to overthink games right now at this point. Like, I know anything can happen, but I'm trying not to overthink. I'll go Rams here over the Cowboys. All right, Sunday, Chargers at Patriots. I was rooting for the Chargers. I was the only one that picked them against the Ravens last week. I'm rooting for the Chargers. I'll go Chargers in this game. I think they have the better team overall. And you can probably debate the quarterbacks playing better. The Phil Rivers playing better than Tom Brady. You could debate it this season. But I will go Chargers in this game. My first road team winning in the playoffs in this week. So, Chargers. Justin?
I'm going to go Chargers too.
Oh, we're believing. I like it. Charlie?
I'm going to be the deviant here.
Yeah.
The Patriots have looked a lot better at home than they have on the road. They have a lot of home experience in the playoffs. And I just have a feeling that they're going to pull this game away. I think that the Chargers, you know, they looked really good against the Ravens last week, but that was against a rookie quarterback. I think that, you know, when you have Tom Brady, one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the league, it's going to be a little bit of a different story. I think the Chargers' opportunity to win this game is if they put up more than 30 points and they really show up offensively. But I think, you know, at home, the Patriots have been great. This is probably one of the best matchups of the weekend, in my opinion, but I'll go Patriots in the close one.
Eagles at Saints.
This one's tight.
I'll go Saints. Justin wants to pick the Eagles.
I do.
Charlie?
I'm going Saints as well. I think that this one is going to be interesting. But, you know, I think that the Eagles are going to come in really believing. It's just going to really come down.